Blog Talk Radio.
Well, aloha, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kelly Wells. You can find me all over social media at Spooky Milk or SpookyMilk.games, and I am your host of PWT Talks NXT. Once again, not full complement of the usual gang of idiots here. Glad to be back after last week. I didn't think I would be. Had one of the most stressful days of my life. I'm not going to talk about it. That's just a bit of vague booking for you. But it was an irritation kind of start to end. I guess not end. I'm here. I'm talking wrestling. That's not so stressful. And the show didn't make me mad. So I guess there's that too. So we're going to talk main event. We're going to start there. One of the two guys is fighting internet issues, and the other one is fighting asthma. You're going to find out which one is here. So we'll find out together, folks. Let's talk main event. We got Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa against Legado del Fantasma. Earlier in the night, we had Bron and Tommaso meet up in front of the lockers, and they had a moment where they're talking about kicking ass, and Tommaso agreed and said, indeed, let's kick some ass. But he had a kind of faraway look. He was looking elsewhere, like he was thinking about something. Was he thinking about, hey, maybe not tonight, but eventually I do turn on this kid? I think he was, folks, but I can't prove it, and we'll have to find out together. Tonight was not that night. They worked together like a well-oiled machine, this wacky tag team that couldn't get along and is now teaming. Well, we had two of those tonight. But yes, Breakker and Ciampa win this match. Breakker wins with his finishing power slam on Mendoza, I think, after Ciampa isolates and nullifies Wild. Ciampa, of note, perhaps, to me, is dyeing his beard. I didn't see last week's show, so I don't know if he dyed his beard for last week, too, but he did dye it, and now that's where that is. I thought it looked really sharp the way it was already, but there are decision makers that I know don't like that kind of thing in WWE. So I'm very interested to see where he's going to head, because it seems like that's only something he bothers doing if there's a plan for him. But maybe the plan is, hey, you can keep your job if you do that. You should mute those things, Nate. You can keep your job if you do that. So I don't know, probably overthinking this, but that is my job. So the winners are the baby faces, 11 minutes, 26 seconds with Braun getting the pin and his music playing at the end. Although then we got the nightly blow off to the mini story that was told throughout the night. I'm kind of a sucker for these bookend stories that go on throughout the night. We had Kaylee Ray terrorizing Mandy Rose. We had a good old-fashioned NXT parking lot kidnapping of Toxic Attraction. We don't know where she dumped the bodies, but she done did so. And eventually, at the end, Kaylee Ray gets what she wants, which is a match. And you would assume at Vengeance Day, but indeed it is not. So that's a little bit of intrigue. We are getting this match next week instead of at Vengeance Day. Bizarre bit of booking there. I don't know if that means that next week is inconclusive and then we get more, or if Kaylee Ray really is just a transition to get somewhere else. But it seems like you save Kaylee Ray for a bigger spot. So I don't know, but I guess we'll find out. You can talk about that through line, that story that the women told throughout the night, which caused Vic to at one point say, what a meatballsy move by Kaylee Ray. And you can talk main event, Nate.
Oh, yes, I am the one fighting asthma. So, hey, if I kind of cut it short, I apologize, but I think I'll be okay in the next few minutes or so. I had to take Corbin out into the bitter cold, and sometimes it makes it so I can't breathe. Anyway, so there's a lot to talk about here. Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa, I thought they worked really well together tonight. As you said, well-oiled machine, a lot of chemistry there, both as rivals as well as allies. I thought they worked really well together. I thought, like, throughout the match, Bron Breakker seemed to get a lot more of the or take a lot more of offense than Tommaso Ciampa did, which in my head, like, it was kind of twofold. Like, A, yeah, you're trying to build some sympathy on him to eventually get the hot tag or whatever. But I almost would have liked to see the roles reversed and have Ciampa take beating and have Breakker make the hot tag. He is the champion. I don't really necessarily want to see him get beaten down like that. That's really kind of a nitpick or whatever. Otherwise, I really enjoyed the match. Again, anytime LDF is out there, it's going to be a good match in terms of match quality and flippy stuff and whatnot. So overall, the match itself, I thought it was fantastic. As far as Ciampa's beard goes, as far as I'm aware, he dyed it for a main event taping a handful of weeks ago. And so that's why it's dyed and kind of shapen and whatever, because he, when he was on the main event taping, he was wearing like his generic, like Ciampa gear, like stuff he wore back in, the Cruiserweight Classic type of stuff. I don't know if it's the same gear or not, but same type of aesthetic or whatever. So I'm assuming that's why it's still dyed that way. We'll see if he ends up on the main roster or not. My feeling is he probably will. I hate to see it. I hate to see him leave NXT, but whatever. Good for him. Go up to the main roster, make some money, make more money. Him and LA Knight, but we'll get to LA Knight when we get there. Bron Breakker's champion so far is not I wouldn't say it's a failure or anything by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's certainly been a success, but at least in my eyes, a lukewarm success. I can't quite put my finger on why. And the only reason that it kind of came to my head, the only reason it came to mind was not necessarily his ability or anything, but his gimmick is just such a hothead, like meathead, that I can just see him making some stupid little, you know, kayfabe, make some stupid little like mistake or stupid decision, let his anger get the best of him to just lose the title, right? He doesn't seem like somebody that I can see as like a long-term champion right now. And I'm sure that's going to change. He's certainly got the ability on the mic, in the ring especially. Like, goddamn, that spine buster. Man, that was awesome. So yeah, I'm still really high on him as well. The Mandy Rose and Kaylee Ray stuff I thought was actually pretty good. All things considered, kind of rating on my new scale for NXT 2.0 anyway. It was okay. I'm really interested to see what happens when the two of them get in the ring. Mandy Rose, she's not one of my favorites in the ring. I give her a little bit more credit than I think some people do, but she's still not one of my favorites in the ring. She's doing a decent job for where she is right now. Definitely doing a better job than I thought she was going to when she initially showed up in NXT. But overall, I think she's doing great. The whole but once they actually get in the ring, completely different styles. Kaylee Ray, I mean, she's got kind of like that strong style, fighting style. So to see her in the ring with Mandy Rose, who is traditional born and bred WWE style, is going to be a little interesting to see how, it'll be cool to see how Mandy Rose handles herself there. And there's one other thing that I wanted to mention about Mandy Rose and Kaylee Ray, and I knew I was going to forget it because it was the last thing. If it comes to me, I'll come back to it, but I'm going to catch my breath now and toss it back to you.
Yeah, I certainly don't think Mandy's doing like great. Would stop well short of that word. I think she's about where I thought she'd be, with some flashes of being even worse. Like the vignette where she was just talking about where she was talking from the pool. I couldn't believe how poorly acted that was. And it seems like she does better work when she's actually live in the more intense situation of being in front of people than when she's in a controlled environment, which is not common for people that are not in the business of acting. I mean, like with actors, I expect them to turn it on and be even better when the camera's rolling. I don't expect that of somebody who has to occasionally act, but that's not how the job is defined. And she always turns it up further. And I literally walk away surprised from every, like today's segment. There are times where she goes out there and she is worse than the other two. And tonight she went out there and she was better than the other two. It's like you really never know what you're going to get with Toxic Attraction. Every time they come out, I feel like someone will kind of drag it down, but someone else will save it. That's what it seems like is happening every time they're on.
The average between the three of them is always like a C.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it was, I don't know. If they're going to roll with this, at least they're finding a fun way to do it. It's irritating to hear Mandy list off a list of her accomplishments and have none of them do with wrestling. I know that's it, but that's your champion. And she's listing off all the things that are not wrestling. And it's just going to chap my hide a little bit, even though I know it's supposed to, but I dislike it in a way that is like, well, I wouldn't watch this show if I didn't have to. I don't dislike it in a way that makes me want to see her get beat. It's mostly like, yeah, this, if I wasn't doing the podcast, skip it. I don't know. Braun, I think, is a lukewarm champion, I suppose. I decided today I think he looks like an early 2000s frat boy, down to the hairstyle and everything.
Just today you're deciding that?
I mean, ultra specifically, I want to put him in that place and time, and I don't know. I don't see these guys out in the wild anymore. I'm 44, and I didn't hang out with this kind of D-bag when I was that young either. And I don't know if he is. Scott Steiner's in the family, so maybe he is. I don't know. And I don't even know if Scott is. Make that clear. There's a quality about him. And when he speaks that you laugh and you just hope he doesn't beat you up because he knows he's being made fun of probably. Braun, I think, is doing okay to better. I don't know how far along he is and I don't know how far along I should expect him to be, but I think that he has genuine upside if he is protected properly and if he stays in his lane. It sounds like a threat. It's not. I just think if you ask him to do too much too soon, you're going to expose that this guy has limits on what he is and what he should be. But if they keep him within those limits, he's going to be more than just fine. He could be a genuine superstar. So I'm going to go to our one email that we already have today. You can email us at pwtorchnxt@gmail.com. Yes, I know we have a call as well. I will get to you after this. This feels like business that is kind of slightly separate to NXT. Feels more like a starter than a closer. So I'm going to go to our email.
And I do just want to point out we have two, so I want to make sure you don't miss the other.
Oh, snap.
JB's just came in a little bit ago.
Yep, it sure did. And that's also about the Rumble. Oh, they're both about the Rumble, so I'll read them both. Kevin Kitani says, salutations, gents. I hope this email finds you well. Well, if you haven't talked about it by now, what did you all think about the Rumble? Are any of you surprised that NXT had a minimal presence? What does that kind of interaction mean for NXT and its interplay with the main roster for the foreseeable future? Thanks, as always, for your thoughts. Go VIP and listen to 8YB. Office hours are now over. The professor, Kevin P. Kitani, PhD. This is from JB. It's JB from Detroit. If you could pick any NXT wrestler all time, one man and one woman, to win the Royal Rumble and receive a huge push from it, who would they be? Love the show, and go VIP! Everybody pushing VIP. I love it. And yeah, listen to AYB. It's great. So, okay, the Rumble. Normally, I have friends over for the Rumble. It is my favorite day of the year. It is my everything. There is no sporting event that I place above it for just sheer one-day excitement. And
it
I love
our Christmas.
Our
Christmas.
That is what I said. That's how I explained it to a guy I work with. I was like, it's not merely, I mean, some people would say it's my Super Bowl. I don't actually think football is that great a sport. So
that's why I said Christmas.
Yes. So, you know, other sporting events I hold in higher esteem, but I that's what I said to him. It's my Christmas. So my expectations are always high, and the Rumble has on many occasions delivered, even with minimal to terrible build. And it's funny when people say, I can't believe the Rumble was so good when the hype was so bad. And it's like, dude, it's, man, Royal Rumble, it, you don't have to promote it for it to deliver. Like, if it's written well, it doesn't matter that it wasn't promoted well beforehand. Well, this one confirmed to anybody who would argue against that, that if you don't put a lot of effort into it, promoting it, then maybe you do end up with this. A lot of people got scared as this got up close. Put over anybody as really, really making that story to win the Royal Rumble is that the two winners were not going to be people that were announced for them. And sure enough, by the time the day came, everybody knew who those winners were going to be. Like, it wasn't a secret at all. I was just like, let's fast forward to that. So all that's left is, please give me some good stories. And they didn't really. I thought the women's one was very bad, and I thought the men's was pretty bad in terms of getting any stories out of it. There is the story. I mean, they did one. They did Corbin and Madcap eliminating four guys and Madcap eliminating AJ Styles. By the way, I'm not against that at all. AJ was never going to win. He was still the guy who was in the ring longest. And I know it's Madcap Moss, but if you're going to try to get something out of somebody, why not go full Maven with him, Royal Rumble 2002, and just see, and put, because this is going to end with Styles and Corbin and not Styles and Madcap, I think. But, which, and even that is beneath AJ Styles, but if they're going to see Corbin as that high up, then I guess this is what we've got. And the surprises like that are so rare. And everybody who wants it to be somebody bigger and have, I mean, there were just people angry, like, I can't believe they didn't let AJ get to the end. And I'm like, he's number one. Number one shouldn't get to the end every single damn year. And it happens all the time. And I love for them to once again bring it back to a little bit of luck of the draw. Because last year was a great women's rumble and a not so good men's rumble, but the winners were numbers 3 and 1, which really just kicks the teeth of the idea that that the luck of the draw matters at all. If you do it that often, then it's not cool when somebody does it. Anyway, undercard was mostly bland and unspectacular. There was one very, very good match that ended in a DQ. I get it. They're going to go to Saudi and they're going to wrestle there. But it was really too bad when they only had one banger of a match that it ended in such, not only a disqualification, but such a dumb disqualification. Brock, I think, did not have to win the Royal Rumble to get where he's going. I think that he could have done it perfectly well. I thought he got where he was going just by having the other Roman and Heyman do what they did. I was like, not only does he not have to win, I wouldn't even put him in it at this point. Tell the other story. But that's not what they decided to do. And Brock wins two Royal Rumbles 19 years apart, which is actually kind of awesome. I don't hate it as much in retrospect as I did in the moment. But it's bottom tier Royal Rumble. It's not great. As for NXT, anybody from NXT ever to win the Royal Rumble and win, get a huge push. Kai and Tyler Rust, probably. Dakota Kai, definitely. Tyler Rust is a half joke. I think that he's worthy of being that high up on a card, but nobody has given him the ball to that level. But New Japan might be doing that. We'll see. For the men, there's no shortage of folks that I could see get that. I know the ship has sailed on this level of push, but I'm going to say Sami Zayn. I still think that it really, really, really could work if they presented it in the right way. Nate?
I can't believe Royal Rumble 2002 was 19 years ago. I mean, it's simple math, right? But I still can't believe it was 19 years ago. I was there.
2003.
2003,
the one,
sorry.
That Brock,
2003.
Yep.
That's mm-hmm. what I meant to say. I don't know why I said 2002. 2003. I was there back in the very last row of the TD Garden in Boston. Phenomenal time, great time, but I experienced my first migraine after sitting directly across from a light, which sucked. Anyway, Royal Rumble, overall, okay, it's weird because I kind of like tuned wrestling out almost entirely outside of NXT for, oh God, it was almost like 2 months, partly because I was moving, partly because I actually started a new job and I really needed to focus on that. There's only so much time in the day, right? And I'm not necessarily loving what WWE is putting out at the moment in terms of their overall product. So it was kind of easy for me to just kind of fall off of it. I just did NXT because, hey, I like to be here and chat with you guys, right? And I'd keep up with things through like Torch content or, you know, other random things throughout the internet. But coming at the Rumble from just kind of like, hey, I haven't really watched a lot of wrestling in a while. I liked watching the Royal Rumble matches themselves because it was just kind of cool to watch the Royal Rumble match. Breaking it down, I basically echo a lot of what you said. I really don't like the fact that they had to bring in, what was it? I think it was 14 women, if I'm not mistaken. I think the number was 14 that are either part-time, are not with the company, whatever, to fill out the Women's Royal Rumble when you do have a lot of talent down in NXT. Now, on the flip side, I was listening to Greg Parks on Wrestling Night in America the other night, and he had a good point, and it was like I completely just lost what I was talking about. Holy crap!
Made the point. Well, yeah. He might have made the point because I made it the week before on that very same show. I told him that he said Cam Hawkins said the over-under on NXT women in the match is 9. What do you take, Kelly? And I'm like, it's going to be 0. Oh. Like, are you watching the show? It's 0.
Wow.
That's what I absolutely said. It will be no women. And I said, if any of them show up, it's going to be a call-up.
This is exactly what I was talking about. I started thinking like one thought ahead and then I tripped my brain up because that's what happens. On the flip side, that's exactly it. You know, NXT is now compartmentalized as a developmental territory. So you kind of want to leave it as a developmental territory. You don't necessarily want to be calling them up all the time for those cameos that they were doing before when they're trying to build that as a second brand. I kind of like that idea, you know, to completely, completely separate it in that respect. If they're going to do it and go full force with it, keep it separate. I I was going into the Rumble not realizing that either you or Greg had you know, said that, just kind of like my own thoughts going into the Rumble. I figured there probably wouldn't be. The last time I was on this show, which was, I think, 2 weeks ago, I said different. I think I said something about Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez, maybe somebody else. But as we approached the Rumble, I really didn't think so. Plus, they announced, and this kind of gets into my next point, they announced almost all of the participants for both of the Rumbles. Now, that's such a double-edged sword for me, because I'm the type of guy that'll boot up like a WWE 2K, well, 2K19, because I won't boot up 2K20, 2K19 or another WWE game, and just does like a random 30-man Rumble, right? Because I just like that, who's coming out next, right? Who's coming out next? You don't really get that when you announce the majority of the entrants. And like, you knew, I think it was 26 or 27 of the women and just about the same amount for the men. Just announced by WWE, not to mention leaks and spoilers and all that stuff. So yeah, it was very underwhelming for me. In that respect, and the finish for both Royal Rumble matches were, I mean, essentially the same in terms of, you know, in terms of winner. It's a part-time former UFC fighter. Like, you know, so what does that say about the rest of the roster? Like, I get it. It has, you know, it makes a moment, and that's what they try to do, is they now try to build towards, and not necessarily build towards stories. I get that, and it does draw money, but why am I going to try and invest all this time in Big E and his WWE title reign, right, when all of a sudden, boom, it gets squashed just because, you know, somebody else needs a title real quick? And yeah, it long story short, I'm not a huge fan of like the part-timers.
E was done really dirty because he got near the end. Like, nobody gets eliminated in round 29. I mean, it happens. But he got eliminated in round 29. Like, he was just garbage compared to what they were going to at the end.
I know.
It was so weird for him to go out early. Like, I saw the spot coming up, and I was like, surely not. Surely this is not this simple. But when it doesn't work out for guys that are not strictly Vince guys, they don't get as long. They don't get as many opportunities to make it work. Meanwhile, you know, they push somebody like JBL to the championship. It's a failure from the start, and they go with it for 9 months because he's friends with Vince. Whatever, man.
Yeah. I mean, so, and then, you know, there were a couple things in the Rumble matches themselves that I did like. I'll be honest, when I heard the Right to Censor music go off, I didn't know who was coming. I guess I did know who was coming out because it was a women's match, but Right to Censor music come off, see Ivory on the screen. I started laughing. I'm like, this
she
is fantastic.
Is
she killed it.
60.
I know.
6-0.
I know. She still looks amazing. She took a bump off the top rope, like not just off the top rope, but to the apron, or to the floor rather, at 60 years old. I mean, that's phenomenal. I've always liked her. Really glad to see her in that spot. Just kind of get her little moment there, bring that character back. I thought that was fun. It was a lot of fun. Same thing with the Molly Holly and Nikki A.S.H. spot. And I'm kind of hoping, especially now that Molly Holly, I believe, is a producer backstage, maybe that'll turn into a feud. And I actually mentioned something about that at some point at Torch Audio. I forget who I was talking to, but I mean, hell, I forget what I had for breakfast. I forgot what I was saying a few minutes ago. But I know I said that I would love to see like Nikki A.S.H. and Molly Holly. So it was really cool to get that moment in that Rumble. I did kind of, I'm not going to lie, I kind of like seeing Knoxville in the Rumble just because I'm like, I'm like a shameless Jackass fan. I like it. It's cool. It was like what I grew up on.
What's so funny is that a few people on Twitter were like, wow, I like Knoxville's spot because he actually took some legit bumps. And I was like, did you think Johnny the Hell Knoxville wasn't going to take been taking bumps since before some of these guys were born.
Yeah.
Like actually putting himself in danger.
Jesus Christ, don't say that. But the moment that I one of the big standouts for me in the Royal Rumble match and was Bad Bunny. Holy crap. And not only just, you know, his moves, but he gets it. He understands wrestling. When he got thrown over the top rope, he didn't just get thrown over the top rope and his arms flailing around. No, he grabbed for all three ropes as he was falling down. Like just simple little like details like that, that I kept noticing that he was doing. And I was like, holy shit, he gets it. And meanwhile, the crowd's booing him, and I understand why they're booing him. They don't want to see him. Like, they can understand, and I'm sure a lot of them appreciate what he's doing, but at the same time, like, you don't want to see part-time. We didn't want to see Shane McMahon. We didn't want to necessarily see Bad Bunny as the surprises. You know, the rumored surprises of like, you know, people, I've seen people online, John Moxley's a show. No, he's not. You know, like, so people wind up building themselves up to be, you know, just to be disappointed. You got to think realistically, but God, Shane McMahon, like that was not, you know, I immediately when I heard the music, I was like, oh, hey, it's Shane. And then I was like, oh, hey, it's Shane. You know, cause I kind of got the nostalgia pop a little bit, but, and then immediately went away. But we've kind of gabbed about the Rumble long enough, so we can move on.
Yes, indeed. I have 1,000 more thoughts about it. You can.
So do I.
You can tweet me about it if you want. But I think we at least should exhaust that and talk about the thing that this is about. Okay. So you can call us 515-605-9345. I believe that this is Ryan. Caller, go ahead.
Yeah. My first question is on the former Walter. They sort of gave like a backstory of why he changed his name. Like the way they talked about his grandfather had that name. Do you think that's a true story, or you think they're just trying to cover for themselves?
As far as I'm aware, it's a recovery.
It wouldn't be surprising if that was his real name, because that's a really common name there. If this is not true, then it would be a really messy thing for them to do, because it would be a very transparent way to save face. So I'm going to assume that that's his grandfather's name. Even if it is, this is an opportunity that they had where they talked to him. They were like, please tell me there's a Gunther in your family. He's like, sure, Pappy. Because seeing Walter say, sure, Pappy, makes me filled with joy. I feel like that is – it's damage control either way. Whether it's true or not, it absolutely is damage control. Vince and company are way too proud to bail from the name that they already committed to changing to. They'll drop the Stark part. Like, they won't use that at all. But they won't admit defeat, because it's not the kind of people they are. So even if they're wrong, and they are, and even if the name sucks, and it does, then they won't backtrack on it. And Vic was produced immediately, because they knew, they probably had this in the can ready. They were like, Vic, if they chant Walter, and they will, because Gunter is terrible, then you have to say, you can hear the WWE universe, but that man there is Gunter. Like, he had to say it. And he was produced not to say Walter. Even though we're hearing him, he was produced to just acknowledge it and yet still not say it. It's so weird and so specific the way this company's brain works. WWE is just on an island in the way that it produces people. I'd be willing to believe that Gunther is probably, unless somebody proves it wrong, I'm going to assume that it is his grandfather's name. But do I think that went into the process of choosing his name? No, I don't. I don't think they went to him and asked him for input. I think they found a name, used it, told him this was the deal. And now that they have to backtrack because they accidentally landed on a high-profile Nazi, they did what they could. Nate?
Oh, God. I have a lot to say about this because this whole thing actually made me almost resign completely from doing not just like this, the hits and misses and everything, kind of just walking away from WWE entirely. I don't know. It was kind of a straw that broke the camel's back. I'm like, nah, you know what? If this was simply just an intern that never Googled, you know, the name Gunther Stark or something like that, like, okay, that just shows big mismanagement of the company, right? That kind of just further proof of mismanagement of the company. Or if they willingly knew that it was a Nazi name and they decided to go with it anyway, like, what? You know, carnies be carnies, right? What kind of people, like, and you know that. What kind of people are we dealing with here? Because, you know, it's the Saudi Arabia stuff and things like that. I kind of struggled with this a little bit because I enjoy doing the podcast. I enjoy writing the hits and misses, and I don't necessarily want to walk away from that, but it's hard to watch it's not only hard to watch a product that, like, I don't want to say I don't like it, but I miss the black and gold NXT and the direction that was headed and, you know, takeovers and how, you know, builds the takeovers felt important and stuff. Nothing really feels that important in NXT 2.0. But that's beside the point at the moment. I decided ultimately to keep doing what I'm doing simply because I enjoy doing this and I don't want to walk away from something I enjoy. Maybe I should, I don't know, but that's kind of what I came to. Anyway, I don't like the name change, period. I understand why they did it, you know, name thing, rights and whatever, legal stuff. I get it. God, I got to mute Discord. I'm sorry. I'm just going to quit it. The name itself, I don't think it's a bad name for a wrestler. I really don't. I think it's a bad name to rename a wrestler to Gunther. Especially somebody like Walter. Now, Walter, in and of itself, is a terrible wrestling name, right? Like, I remember, like, the first time I heard about this guy, Walter, I'm like, Walter? Seriously? Because Walter, to me, was the old guy three doors down that used to hand out raisins when we went trick-or-treating. Like, that's my idea of a Walter. But I think you could still get a good presence out of the name Gunther. Honestly, I think you can, especially with a guy like Walter. Geez, it's going to get confusing. Because, you know, he is going to be committed to do what he's doing.
Typing the recap was tough. Like, sure. I want to say Walter. So I'm looking back every single time I wrote a sentence about him. I looked back over it and made sure I'd used the right name.
Dude, you just do a find and replace every time we update. It's okay.
Yeah, but I was talking about – I had to talk about Walter also.
Oh, I know. I know what you – oh, yeah, okay, good point. Good point.
That's what they were saying, so I couldn't do it.
All right, fine. Don't use the finder and replace because, yeah, that would have been a good place to do it. Overall, I'm not a fan. I honestly am not giving him a benefit of the doubt that it was father's name. I mean, as far as I'm aware, it was the only thing that was said about that was actually on NXT, correct? Like, there was nothing behind the scenes or anything. It was just him saying it on NXT. Anything that gets said on TV, for the most part, unless I know for a fact, or, you know, I wouldn't say know for a fact, because, hey, what do we really know for facts, right? Unless, like, we do get something directly from Wade or whatever, but yeah, like, it's unless I know for a fact that you know something is going to necessarily happen. I don't necessarily put a whole like a whole lot of stock into all of that. I don't know why I keep losing my train of thought tonight. That's a little bit scary to me, to be completely honest with you, because I shouldn't keep doing that, but I just did again. Anyway, I'm going to throw back to you.
Yeah, I'm seeing that he said it on TV, but he's also said it off TV. So I'm going to say it is his grandfather's name, probably. But they put him in a tough spot. I feel like they really did him dirty because
they
grabbed that name and then because of their own insecurities, wouldn't walk back from it or even find a third name that sucked less. They were like, okay, you're stuck with this. So you are going to be asked these questions because of our decision.
And not only that, but now every time I hear Gunther, and most people in our, you know, the internet wrestling community, whatever, hears Gunther. I mean, how can you not associate that with this whole Nazi thing? Like, you know, it's tainted it, you know, I understand, like, they invested money into it, and now they've obviously done this name change, but goddamn, do an Emelina and switch back to being Emma.
Yeah, let's not short trip the match. Totally. We don't need to linger on it because it is just a six-man opener. But this was, for me, the best match on the show.
Me too.
Most fun could have been the main, possibly. But this was fun, too. At 12 minutes flat, Imperium over Diamond Mine, Gunther pins Brutus. I love Brutus, by the way. Julius is pretty good. I love Brutus. He's better on the mic, too. But, yeah, this is a perfectly decent thing for these two factions to do. If only Hit Row were in there to tangle with them as well, because they were even cooler. But this was good and hard-hitting, and I won't linger on this. Any thoughts on the match?
Nothing more than really what you said. I did enjoy the match. Creed Brothers, love watching these guys. Super, like, just brutal. I don't really have much more to say. We can move on. I thumbs up.
Ryan, go ahead.
Yeah, my second question's on Duke Hudson. I wanted to ask this last week. I noticed he's using the Razor's Edge as his finishing move, and again, they showed in the video package. I thought that was a banned move because Sheamus used that as his finisher, but then he stopped using it. Is there like a reason why Duke's allowed to use it?
So I don't know why Sheamus stopped using it. This is a move you still see around the world. Somebody in Bullet Club does it. I should know this because I do watch every New Japan match. But somebody does it there. I don't know why Hudson specifically is the one tabbed to do this or if they knew he had one. I'm not close enough to that situation. Tom has accidentally met Duke, but but I don't think he asked him about that. I think that this is a situation where, I don't know, do you go to Sheamus and you ask him, can I use this, even though you know that he's kind of established and he goes out there 300 days a week and he's like, dude, I need every transition move I can get. Or do you expect that he says, hey, I've been doing it for a long time, kid, you can do it. I don't, because nobody's using it as a finisher, I am in favor of it being transitional. It's weird to me when moves that finished somebody a million times are not used as finishers. It's still every now and then is weird to me when DDTs don't finish things. And as somebody who was watching TNA, I only watched TNA for a short time, and it was during the very height of Petey Williams' career. So the idea to me that a destroyer doesn't absolutely kill someone is baffling. But it gets a two count. It's today's Falcon Arrow, which, by the way, is another move that I think is one of the all-time greats and never finishes anyone.
You know, me too, to be honest with you. Always have.
Love the Falcon Arrow.
Yeah.
It's such a pretty move. Nate, any thoughts on the outsider edge, as Scott Hall called it?
Yeah, so I for some reason was reading something about why Sheamus switched finishers the other day, and don't ask me why, but I was. And if I remember, he switched to the brogue kick as his finisher from the razor's edge, simply because it was an easier move just to hit out of nowhere, and just kind of, you know, easier move to build around. So I don't necessarily think it was banned. It could have been like for other reasons, but I don't think that was necessarily the reason Sheamus switched off of it. At least
did
from,
Priest stop doing it? I'm not watching the main roster very much. Did Priest stop doing it?
To be honest with you, I think the first time I watched Raw was last night. In a while, in probably about 2 months or so. I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily banned, but even if it was banned, right, let's say it was theoretically banned, Vince always kind of gets wishy-washy on certain things, right? And I mean, like the curb stomp, you know, he wanted the curb stomp banned for a while, or Randy Orton's punt kick, or, you know, things like that. And then eventually, okay, yeah, you guys can do it again. I think sometimes, you know, it is a safety thing, but I think if you can prove that you do the move safe and, you know, things like that, they, depending on who you are and what the move is, I think they may make exceptions. We have seen that in the past with other people and other finishing moves. Can't necessarily think of one off the top of my head, but I know we have. So just at least my two cents on all that stuff.
Yeah, punt kick went away because of concussions, and the crossface went away for reasons completely different.
I know, and I love that move so much.
It's a wonderful move, and you'll see it now some. But
every once in a while.
A long time for that to come back. And that was only 16 years ago. So, most of the people watching wrestling, a lot of us, well, most of the people watching WWE, because that fan base is old, like me, is still there, and they knew the Crippler. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah. Another question I have for you is on the Lioness. She the first wrestler since Ivory that WWE has recruited from, like, the Glow and Women of Wrestling leagues, because I don't remember them ever being interested in those wrestlers before.
Was who? I didn't hear if you said. I heard you said Ivory. Would you say somebody else before that?
He said the Lioness. That is the Nikita Lyons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't
actually didn't realize that was her.
I think that's possible. She, I get that they like that she's raw. I'll have to see what she can do in the ring. On the mic, she's, I'm going to say, atrocious. I thought that it was really, really tough listening to her talk. And then when she rapped, I genuinely kind of found it like a slap in the face, because there was a really, really good rap act on this show recently, and her rap is
awful.
I'm
just going to say it's awful.
It's perfunctory at best. It is just like, it seems like the kind of thing your friend makes a track and you go, it's so cool that you did that, because that's what you say when you don't know how to give a compliment, how not to give a compliment while also complimenting the attempt. It's so cool that you did that. That's what I felt. My notes have a sentence that is much less flattering than that, but I'm trying to be nice. I've been a little critical on the last few weeks. This was not great. We don't know what she is in the ring yet. She's got a build that makes me suspect power, and I'm always up for an overwhelming woman's wrestler in there and to see what they can get out of her, because they could use a giant. I mean, they recently had a giant. I don't know if they got rid of her because she was injuring people, but she was injuring people, and now she's gone. They got Raquel, who I think is mid. They got Rhea, who has been done sort of wrong by certain booking. You can tell they still like her. From the Rumble match alone, you can tell that she's still important. She could be in a better place than she is now. They just haven't made it work with a monster kind of for a while. I don't know if that's what she's going to be. I'm hoping that that's part of this act, and I'm hoping that this high concept opening, they'll be able to kind of back off from this a little bit and be a little more straightforward. This was tough. I'm hoping for another Mandy Rose situation where she gets in front of a crowd and she lights up, because this was rough. Nate.
Yeah, it was. I don't think, basically, when you said, hey, it's so cool that you did that, right? I didn't necessarily think those words, but what I was thinking when I watched this was like, wow, I feel like this is something that like somebody would have just made and put on like TikTok or Instagram or something. Like, I'm so cool, man, you know? I didn't like her rapping ability. I do feel like it was a slap in the face, like Hit Row. That also went through my mind. I was like, God damn, we had Swerve, man. Now we get this. You know, if you want to do some sort of a musical gimmick, like, cool, go ahead. But I mean, she clearly can't. I wouldn't say she can't rap, but she can't rap well. So, you know, maybe try a different type of, different genre of music or something if you're dead set on a musical gimmick, but whatever. I did not like the vignette whatsoever. Sean, I think you asked something too about if Ivory was the only person that came from GLOW to go into WWE.
I did think of one, but she was more of like a serious wrestler. I can't think of the name of the champion, but I was like thinking more of like these gimmick wrestlers, you know, from GLOW, like the Housewives and Lionel. Definitely sort of like a gimmicky wrestler. I just can't think of that girl that she feuded with Tessa Blanchard, I remember, but I just can't think of her name. I know she was signed to WWE this role briefly.
Yeah, okay, I don't know offhand. Okay, yeah, that's in that case then, that's all I got.
Yeah, also WWE increasingly fond of the unnecessary letter K, because Bron Breakker is Breakker with two Ks. Nikita Lyons is Nikita with two Ks. Not a thing, but maybe they just want you to be able to, like, literally, I was going to say this as a joke, but maybe they just want you to be able to Google it. I got else. Nikita,
well,
Lyons with two
Ks. I was going to say something like that too. Like, maybe it's a trademark thing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
They do love that. Go ahead with one more.
Okay. I guess my final question is on this Robert Stone. Is he to be with Von Wagner when he gets called up, or do they have something? Do you think like he'll ever get called up, this Robert Stone, to the main roster? Do you think he's just to hang out in NXT the whole time?
That's a good question. There's no doubt that his goal is to get to the main roster. There's no doubt. Like, he's been in high, like, as Robbie E, he was fairly important in Impact. And he's probably more known than a lot of wrestlers just because he was on an episode on a season of The Amazing Race, and he made it to like the final four teams. So he's probably been seen by more people because wrestling is so niche. I would assume that he is playing for the main roster, and he will, I get the feeling that he's there to enhance whoever he's with so much that he will be able to be that guy. And he tried to be, I think he gave it his best shot to be the comedic loser. But when you're a bad guy, when you're a heel manager, you've got to win a lot to make it work. And if you can't win a lot, you have to be real dynamite on the mic to make that work. And the only person I think that they've got that, other than the very, very, very obvious Heyman right now, who is that, is Malcolm Bivens. Bivens can talk his guys back to the top because he's that good, he's that sharp, he's that quick. Stone is lesser than Bivens, but I think that his shtick can work in a slightly more, if he can kind of find his inner Heenan, or you know what, he might be even more Jimmy Hart. I think that can work. But Jimmy Hart was really effectively irritating, like really effectively. And he was when the situation called for it, but he kept his guys over. And I think that's what Stone needs to do. I think that managing in wrestling, heel managing is a, I won't say a lost art, but it's real specific. It's only a couple of guys, and those guys only usually manage one person. It's a lost art for a guy to have a stable and to effectively do that. They still do that in New Japan. That's a little different because they don't get a lot of mic time. They're just going out there and doing the heel work out in front of the crowd, and they don't have to put over stuff on the mic very often. It's kind of a different approach. I would love for Stone to be one of the heirs to the throne. I don't think that he is, but I would love to see him figure this out, find his inner Slick or Jimmy Hart or Colonel Robert, whatever. I'll think of his last name when it doesn't matter to me anymore. Yeah, these kind of, I think that he can be a benefit. And I also think that Von Wagner needs him because Von Wagner on the mic is death. It's worse than death. Death would be you're bored. This guy is actively, like, I laugh. When he gave his last promo, I actually laughed, and that's horrible, but I did, and I did because it was that bad. And if he can't cut it there, then he's going to want Robert Stone to succeed as much as anyone. I think both these guys are fairly lost about each other. I don't know that this is a high-level act even with each other, but I'm pulling for him, Nate.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. I think this kind of reminds me of like going to the dollar store and trying to look for like, you know, a Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman doll action figure. And you come up with the dollar store version of it. I don't think it's going to be a bad thing for Von Wagner. Like you said, he's certainly subpar on the mic. There was one promo he gave where it was right after he turned heel that wasn't terrible. And I actually was like, okay, maybe a heel turn is what he needed. But yeah, then he kind of hasn't impressed me since. So I think a mouthpiece is certainly what he needs. Maybe he can learn from the mouthpiece. Somebody like Robert Stone he's certainly a talker, right? So, whether they're, working on stuff backstage or I was going to say riding together, but they're not riding anywhere. But regardless, you know, he can probably learn something from him in terms of promo ability. But having that mouthpiece right now, I think, is going to be good for his character because he can focus on everything else that makes him stand out. And because, I mean, he is a unique looking dude, right? He's an intimidating looking dude. But when he opens his mouth, it kind of it takes that aura away from him. So he keeps his mouth shut for right now, or only speaks when he really needs to. Kind of does that, like, in a way, does like that old kind of older Brock Lesnar gimmick where he just kind of stands there and lets the manager speak for him. I think it's probably going to be a good thing for him, depending on how they book it. So I am for it. I really enjoy Robert Stone and everything that he kind of brings to the table. So I'm glad to see him back on TV, surviving the, apocalypse, if you will. And, hopefully moving up. I don't think this act, granted, we'll see what happens with it because it's obviously a fledgling thing. But as of right now, if Von Wagner was to get called up, like, let's say after WrestleMania, which I don't think is going to happen, but say it was, and this act, was still together. I don't know if they would necessarily bring him up too. They obviously have a history of kind of like, nerfing some of these acts. Scarlett is a perfect example. But by the same token, this is now new NXT. We haven't really seen a call up. I don't think we've seen a call up now from NXT 2.0. At least not one that we weren't expecting, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. We don't know how they're going to handle it. Now that this is a completely developmental territory designed to make stars to then hand feed to Raw and SmackDown, it's theoretically possible that we'll start seeing complete acts move to Raw and SmackDown and not kind of get like watered down like we've seen so many times in the past. You've got your rare exceptions like, Damian Priest, for example, right? Damian Priest, I'm absolutely blown away by how protected he has been on the main roster. But for the part, a lot of these guys and guys and girls, they just kind of they flounder on the main roster because the majority of their act gets just taken out from under them and they start from square one. So this is really kind of one of the big benefits of starting hitting the reset button on NXT and bringing out NXT 2.0 is the fact that they're now creating things to then hand feed to the main roster. So that's just something I wanted to point out as well. We potentially start seeing like full complete acts, like transition over almost seamlessly. So that's something that I actually would really be in favor of seeing more of.
Thanks as always for the call. Let us run for the exits. There's a bunch left, but there's five singles matches we haven't talked about. Three women's, two men's. I am going to put the women's together and see if there's anything there, men's, anything there, and then I'm going to go to backstage segments. So, the women. We got Cora Jade versus Raquel Gonzalez. There actually was, I don't know if I'd say an issue here, but they are both trying to get to the top. And I thought this was good. I thought this was Raquel at her best. I think she is best when she is against slight women, small women like Cora. And they are really, really fighting to really get their spot, their place in the match. Cora got offense, but the offense wasn't hard hitting, and Raquel dominated most of it. This is the match that this should be. No matter how it ends, this was the match this should be. I was really excited about both their work in this thing. Raquel goes over in 602 with a chingona bomb, and then essentially unofficially announces that they are going to be a team in the Dusty Cup, whenever that may get around to being done. Saray versus Kayla Inlay. I spent most of this 3 minutes and 29 seconds looking to find out what Kayla Inlay's name was, because they were saying it, but they were saying it quick or in transition, and it wasn't helpful. I thought this was fine. Kayla Saray, I thought her character was going to be more high concept and potentially racially questionable. I mean, it's real one-dimensional and obvious what they're doing with the schoolgirl gear, but I'm okay with that being the base for her to turn into the superhero. That's fine. It's weird that her Saray by day looks like she's trying to be 15 years old, but whatever. Would prefer she looked like a grown woman, but whatever. 329, Saray over Kayla Inlay. And then Wendy Chu versus Amari Miller. This went 326. It was built around the idea that Tiffany Stratton would take Amari Miller shopping if she was able to defeat Wendy Chu. Stratton comes out at a time when Amari is in control and distracts her. I don't know why she would do this. She's seen wrestling before. And she, of course, becomes the distraction because that is most of what's happening in this company right now. And Wendy Chu wins as a result. And Tiffany Stratton wants her credit card back but can't get it because Wendy Chu is posing with it. The woman portraying Wendy Chu is giving it her best, and she's good in the ring. Her striking ability, her high-impact offense is very good. But when she's doing the high-concept sleeping, like grabbing a leg hold and then falling asleep and saying shh, and then going back to bed, I can see why somebody in their head thought this might work. In practice, it does not. It doesn't. And the crowd was silent for those spots. They gave a half-assed chance.
Well, yeah, she eventually was trying to sleep.
Well, of course. They gave a half-assed chant for Wendy Chu a little bit later, but the stuff that is supposed to get her over, the moves that are supposed to get her over, they played to silence. And I'm surprised they didn't sweeten it because it was so dead. I just hope they don't blame her because she's awesome. She's just playing a character that the height of what this character can do is so, so low that I don't know what they can get out of her. Those are the three women's matches, Nate.
Okay, I'll start there because that's where we are. I said the exact same thing in the hits and misses. I really don't know what to make of Wendy Chu right now. Karen Q is doing an amazing job of diving into this character and giving it her all. I like 10-10 for her and her performance. But what the hell is this character? Like, you know, at first I thought it was supposed to be some sort of a savant type of a thing, almost like Eugene, right? Like, you know, doesn't really, like, she's just sleepy all the time, always tired. And then she gets in the ring and, you know, turns into like this wrestling god and then just falls back to sleep, right? Like, that's kind of what I thought this was supposed to be. And I think in a way it kind of is, but she also then comes across as just somebody that's obsessed with sleeping, like her elbow drop where she's, you know, cradling her head and, you know, just constantly, well, obviously dressed in pajamas and pigtails and whatever. I don't know what the hell, like, where do you go with this gimmick? Like, this is Dr. Isaac Yankum bad, right? Like, where do you go with this? You can't become the women's champion being, you know, falling asleep. Like, what the hell? Like, you can't do that. So there's no potential for her to move up in this gimmick as it stands whatsoever. It's just there for comedy. And that's such a shame because she did such a fantastic job portraying not just this character right now that I don't like necessarily, but she's doing a great job portraying Wendy Chu, but she did a fantastic job portraying Mei Ying. Like, she's very talented and can really dive into those particular roles that are vastly different. And now you're sticking her with this, like, this baby type gimmick. Yeah, Corbin doesn't like it either. Now he just wants the popcorn on my desk. But what the hell? Like, do something more with her. She's clearly better than this, right? Her in-ring work is good. Like, what are they doing? I don't get it at all. Amari Miller, on the other hand, she's the one that I'm watching in that match in particular. Still green, you know, and she's still obviously learning, but I really... you know, and I, Tom, and I believe you, Kelly, as well. You know, we've all kind of had our eye on Amari Miller and where she's going to be going from here. And it's nice to finally see her, you know, finally get an entrance, and her first real like story here with Tiffany Stratton. So I think that's promising for Amari Miller. And I'm really kind of glad to see that that's happened for her, and I'm hopeful for her future here. So kind of that touch on that match. I'll go to Raquel and Cora Jade. You got to love a determined babyface. You know, like somebody that just has that heart, or moxie, as they kept saying over and over on commentary. You know, I do love a good, you know, babyface story where they come up from, you know, kind of try to say, hey, I'm going to do this and I'm going to prove you wrong. That's what I was looking for. Prove you wrong. And that's what she did here. She seriously tried to prove Raquel Gonzalez wrong, that she would make a bad tag partner by just getting the crap beaten out of her. And, you know, she got a little bit of offense in throughout the match. But if at least 95% of the match, she's getting her ass handed to her by Raquel Gonzalez. But she's kicking out when she needed to kick out. She's not tapping out when she did, when, you know, she probably should have been tapping out, right? She showed that heart. It took the match itself, I thought, had a great story. I think, especially for developmental, I'm not talking like this is not, you know, if this was on like a WrestleMania or something, I wouldn't be saying this, but for developmental, I thought it told a great story. This was one of Raquel's better matches, that I can remember in recent memory anyway. And same thing with Cora Jade. I think for somebody as young as her, she shows a lot of potential. She's got a lot of room to grow, but she's still young. So I think she's going to be, she shows a lot of makings of a star as far as I'm concerned. So I thought this is a great match. Looking forward to seeing them in the Dusty Classic when that does finally happen for the women. Probably sometime in, you know, late February, early March, if I had to guess. So that's kind of that there. Saray and Kayla Inlay. Kayla Inlay, I believe, is a former Cassie Lee. Saray's gimmick is weird. I've kind of resigned to the fact that NXT 2.0 is not kind of like set in reality anymore, because there has been a lot of weirdness with some of these characters, and it almost kind of seems like it's going back to like a comic booky type of like, you know, late 80s, early 90s, right? You get a lot of different character, you're just weird and very strong characters. When, you know, the vignettes and stuff, I was helpful and like, okay, this could be cool. At the same time, I had a lot of the same thoughts you were thinking, you know, that it might be some sort of like a racially stereotypical thing. And I mean, to some extent it is. But I don't want to say I like it, because I don't necessarily like it, but I want to give it some time, really, I think, before I pass judgment on it, because it is different. I did like the entrance where she just, you know, it's kind of a pre-taped backstage, and she looks like that 15-year-old schoolgirl for whatever reason, and then she walks through the curtain and she's a superhero. And I did think that was really cool. That was an awesome visual. Even though, it's obvious how they do it, but, you know, thinking of as like a kid watching it or something like that, I think that, you know, especially a little girl or something, I think they'd be like, oh, that's awesome. At least in my mind anyway, not that I know what the hell kids want. I haven't been around one in forever. Kayla Inlay, I thought, you know, I think actually Tom said it, we've got like a little Twitter chat going on. I think Tom said it was like, the NXT special here where, you know, you've got the jobber, but the jobber's allowed to get a little bit of offense in, kind of, you know, get a bit of exposure here. And I like that kind of a jobber match, and I don't at the same time. And there's a time and a place for it. I don't think this was the place for it. I think Saray should have probably just come in and, you know, had a very strong win without any offense taking any offense rather. Hey, whatever. The reason I do like it is because it does build stars. You're allowing the jobber or the newcomer, whatever you want to call them, to get a bit more exposure and kind of show off what they can do rather than just getting squashed. So there's kind of a give and take there. And I think you kind of, depending on the match and who's involved, you've got to pick and choose what type of a squash match you do, whether you get some offense in with the jobber or not. But other than that, mostly nitpicks. I'm iffy on Saray. I'm going to give it a little bit of time. But my last thought on this is why the hell would her grandmother give her this really giant, ugly, cheap-looking LED glowing necklace? That's not an ancient-looking artifact at all. It's a very cheap-looking artifact. So if you want it to look ancient, guys, make it look a little bit better, please. It looks terrible.
Yeah, they got time to find something that looks a little bit better than that. But I had the same feeling that it looks like it came out of a Cracker Jack box. All right, two men's matches, LA Knight versus Joe Gacy. This was your mid-show main. In 4:20, Joe Gacy defeats LA Knight because of the attack of Grayson Waller and who I believe he called Sanga, the former Sarov, who looks...
Yep. I found it online, S-A-N-G-A, Sanga.
Oh, mama, that's what I guessed. I was right. I love it. He looks sharp in a suit, dude. He's dapper. But yes, he provided the distraction because distractions are what WWE is about. And Joe Gacy wins over LA Knight, who is Ben Waller. I dare say this scene worked for everybody involved. I thought that Waller and Sanga's act was raised. Knight is the kind of guy who talks himself back. Even if he loses, Joe Gacy could use the win. I thought that this was pretty fine. Draco Anthony made his debut against Andre Chase. I thought this was a disaster. They want Draco to be a face, and he got booed when he stomped on the heel's big annoying sign. But you got to take into account these fans, this crowd, loves to be annoying. That's part of what they do. So Bodhi, what's his last name? I can't remember. I wrote it in my thing, but I don't remember. He's the second for Andre Chase. For me, part of why this fell flat is that Andre Chase is smaller. I'm not the guy who cares about that normally, but he's not only smaller, but has been defined as a total loser. And he got a lot of offense in on a debuting guy who is a jacked former Marine. There's only so much I can accept. I am a suspension of disbelief guy. I really am. But Draco Anthony probably should have murdered Andre Chase. Nate.
100% should have murdered Andre Chase. I think one of the reasons that they might have booed him too, and now yes, obviously the crowd, everything we always talk about with that crowd, and all that, but just the visual of somebody stomping on a flag, I think in America especially, we're so conditioned to see somebody taking the American flag especially, but a flag and being like, oh my God, that's such a sign of disrespect. Like, that's awful. Because that's like immediately what it invoked in me as well, right? Like, I kind of figured he was supposed to be a good guy, you know, going off of his vignettes and things like that and the way he's carrying himself and whatever. And it's on the flag and I'm like, whoa, like, that's not cool. Like, even if you are a good guy, like, you don't stomp on the flag. Like, that's disrespectful. Like, like almost like Hulk Hogan trying to like eliminate people from the Royal Rumble because he got eliminated, right? Like as a babyface, you don't do that. That's at least in my head. So I had that same reaction, like. I'm kind of booing him for that, right? And I don't even like Andre Chase. I mean, I do and I don't. Like, I kind of like what he's doing, but but I don't like him because I'm not supposed to like him. So that's what I'm getting with that. So I'm curious to see where Draco Anthony goes from here. Chase is obviously going on. I believe it's going to be going on here to Von Wagner. Draco Anthony will. You kind of see where he winds up. It'd be interesting to see if maybe they use that to switch him into a heel type of a role. I doubt it with the Marine stuff, but I could even see it because like the attire he was wearing tonight, the camo cargo pants, that kind of had like a almost like a heelish vibe to me anyway. So especially once like. The booze started happening and he stomped on the flag. Just, something I noticed. So I don't know, they could even flip it, but doubtful. But like to see where he's going. He showed some promise and he's got a good look. He's a little, the look is a little bland, but I also thought Carmelo Hayes was a little bit bland when he debuted. And now he's, covered in bling and all that stuff. So, you can certainly easily grow here. So we'll see what happens there with Draco Anthony. The other one was LA Knight, Joe Gacy. I agree with you 100% with what you said here. I think everybody absolutely came out better after this. Joe Gacy certainly needed a win. Harland got a little bit his here. Grayson Waller, he's just that squirrely heel. Like I kind of almost think of him as like Seth Rollins, not current iteration Seth Rollins, but like maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. About 2 years ago. Best way possible. But him and Sanga, they looked really good here. LA Knight, he obviously, like you said, he can always talk his way out of anything. So whatever. And I also think LA Knight, I think it was the same main event taping that Ciampa was at few weeks ago. I think LA Knight was there too. And he's also shown up. He did a backstage thing. It was a WWE Live or WWE exclusive after a Raw. I don't know if he's shown up on TV or not, because like I said, I'm not Raw or SmackDown. I'm not really paying attention to the main roster. But I caught that little WWE exclusive online. Where he showed up backstage at a main event or a main roster taping. So now that he's kind of dancing with the main roster here, I'm expecting him to go up relatively soon. So, he doesn't need to necessarily look super strong here because he's going to be gone and have a whole bunch of new stories being told up on the main roster. Overall, I thought this was great. Even the short bit of action we got in the ring between these two guys was pretty good and entertaining. So overall, I thought that was a great match to kind of get all of these guys a little more over.
A few backstage segments. Pete Dunne wants Tony D'Angelo in a cage. He wants to get him in the cage where it all started. I can't believe this is still going on. Like, I get it because D'Angelo did the casket thing, memorial. So why wouldn't Dunn have just attacked him at that time? But whatever, we're going to get them in a cage. Hopefully that would be good. Tony is losing me. He's not losing me totally, but in the ring, he's real, real straightforward. Let's see where that goes. Carmelo and Trick come out to cut a promo on Cameron Grimes to push this North American Championship match. And Grimes shows up and tries to keep up in terms of clever statements. He doesn't totally, but I think they both sides held their ground, which made this all the better. Idris Nofe and Malik Blade have erections. There's no way this happened, folks. We had a joke about BBCs, which was way bigger than the eventual erection joke that they did. But the thing with BBC is not everybody knows what they're hearing. But in case you didn't catch that,
the British Broadcasting Corporation, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. In case you didn't catch that, they hit you with the second one. And had Malik Blade not be able to get up because he didn't want to show his manhood to the world, which begs the question why talk about it in front of the camera. But he did. This was during a Mandy Rose and Kaylee Ray fight segment. And then we had Brooks Jensen. I don't know what's happening that Brooks Jensen is one of the guys getting the biggest chance to get himself over on the mic when he's having such a hard time on it. This was better than his previous outing, which is the thing I can say. He's crazy about Caden Carter, and he wanted some insight from Indy, Persia, and Dexter. The best part of this was the small amount of interplay between Indy and Dexter, where she said nonverbal communication is where it's at, which already they've grabbed me with that. And then he just looks at her and she said, "You're right. Let's go to the hot tub." That part worked for me. They did their parts, even though that's all they were given here. But this was mainly done to get Brooks Jensen over. I don't know if it got him over as a player or as somebody that nobody wants to see anymore. Nate, tell me about it.
It kind of made me not want to see him anymore, to be honest with you. It was Joel Pearl said this on Twitter. WWE or NXT 2.0 is high school. And I'm like, yeah, it's totally high school. He tweeted it right after the Idris Sinofe and Malik Blade, Mandy Rose segment thing there. And it absolutely 100% is. I'm gonna go straight to Idris Sinofe and Malik. Like, what exactly are we doing?
They're going
here,
young.
Right?
They're going young.
I get it. Like, I get it, right?
This company knows that they're losing young fans, so they're going young. But they're going really young.
Yeah, and they're not
I
even
get it.
Like,
I don't know if it'll work.
Oh God, I'm willing to bet it's not even funny to kids. Like, it's growner. Yeah. Oh my God. Like, I'm pretty sure if I was to watch that as a kid during the Attitude Era or something like that, I probably would have changed the channel. It was terrible. Just terrible, low brow. Not what I want to see out of NXT. I know they're trying to go edgier and all of that. And there is part of me that kind of does applaud them for doing that.
It's great. They're trying something.
They're trying
this
something
generation,
new.
This right. generation, this is not what they're looking for.
No,
they're
not
looking for what's happening here. They've got a whole different set of issues and problems that I don't think the guys making these decisions understand at
Absolutely
all.
Not. You've got a whole bunch of old white men making decisions again, you know?
Yeah, and they think that the issues of the 80s and 90s are the issues of today because they've simply not evolved or grown. You get to a point where the world is as you see it. You just do.
I used to be cool. I know I was. At one point, I don't know when I stopped, but it happened sometime.
It was before I met you, Nate.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be a gang of idiots without being idiots first. It seems like they're trying, so I don't want to mock it totally that they're trying something, but this is so much like Mr. Burns showing up in high school and wearing a hat backwards with like the flourish on top of the hat and saying, hello, fellow children. Like, you're just, you're not there. You should have sent somebody else. Yeah. Let's say Triple H. Maybe you should have sent him. Or somebody even younger. It's just, I think they're losing touch, and they know it, so they're trying to go young. But it's weird to watch a company that makes so much money, that is so profitable, that has a big payday coming in a month's time for this Saudi show that I won't even watch. And they don't have somebody to say, this is how young people act and what they want. They probably do.
It's just the old man won't change his ways.
Yeah, right. They do, but it's an 80-year-old man who is the young person outreach. Oh, mama. Wow. We went so big picture today. But
didn't we, though?
We did. And that's what the show's about sometimes, folks. And hopefully I won't just go crazy thinking about it afterwards. But I'm Kelly Wells. You can find me all over social media at Spooky Milk or SpookyMilk.games. That is NXT for February 1st. And I liked it. I did like this show, but in this era of NXT, there are going to be things to really, really dislike and when you like a lot of it. Nate?
At Nate Lindberg on Twitter, and I do the NXT hits and misses, which are up on the website for you guys to take a look at. I did miss a couple weeks because of my schedule and things like that, but I will be back to getting them up weekly, hopefully. Going on forward here. So there we go. You can also check out Deej Time, DEGETIME on YouTube, where we take a look at role-playing games and their therapeutic benefits. We're on a little bit of hiatus right now, but we should be ramping back up in a couple months. But there's plenty of content to binge if you would be so inclined to do so. So check it out.
All right, folks, with that, who knows? Next week, maybe there – no, we won't have all of us because no. Tom has told us that his new system does not have sci-fi. So
I don't think we're going to have Tom for another 2 weeks.
Yeah, maybe we'll find a third. Maybe we won't. And I don't know. It's going towards vengeance. Oh, man.
Why isn't it St. Valentine's Day Massacre?
That was an actual massacre, so I get it. But Vengeance Day sounds so stupid. So
it's terrible.
So everyone, think about it for 7 days. Come back to me with the best name, and I will go to WWE Brass and tell them who I am. And demand,
I'll bail you out of jail.
Demand change. Yeah. Thank you. Because I will need that. All right. Cheers, folks. See you in 7. Kaboom, baby.